It's good to be with all of you this morning, brothers and sisters. I like when I preach somewhere for the first time to offer a small clarification at the start of the homily, lest you be distracted by this the rest of the Mass. And that is, I'm about 6'9". I'm sure some of you at least were wondering that. So as in Jesus' day, I am a high priest. No, in all seriousness, I've been helping, again, as I said, recently for a bit now at a number of churches, and it's funny the things you kind of look for or notice. Like, sometimes the altars are a bit too low for me. I remember there was this one, when I was doing my studies, that I would go help at sometimes, that had an unusually high tabernacle, but it was like right at eye level for me, so I just thought it was great, but apparently some priests had trouble reaching it. But one thing I'm always grateful for is an ambo mic that adjusts to a nice, good height for me. It's not uncommon that I'll go to churches and I'll have to ratchet up the mic and then it'll just fall back down. So I'm very grateful that this one nicely stays fixed and suitable for me. So Father Dan, again, keeping him in your prayers in the days to come. He seems to be doing pretty well, but is going to be kind of holed up for the next bit here. But he mentioned to me in preparation for yesterday and today that he's been going through this kind of homiletic series inspired by Father John Ricardo's approach, and specifically hitting on these key points of the gospel message, really. This fact that fundamentally we were created by God, we were captured by sin, we were rescued by Christ and his saving work, and now we're called to make a response to the Lord in faith. So he asked me to hit on this point in particular a bit about making a response to God in faith. I told him it was actually kind of fortuitous that he was doing this because just recently, I went away for some retreat time with a priest friend out of state, but he also invited me while I was there to give a few Advent reflections at his parish. So I was kind of preaching on these sorts of things, and specifically in conjunction with the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which we celebrated recently. I found myself focusing in on this gospel scene of the Annunciation, which was, of course, the gospel for that feast. But again, the idea of making a response to God in faith. In a certain way, of course, Our Lady made the preeminent response to God in faith. And there's that great mystery about how it happened, of course, what we celebrated recently in honoring her Immaculate Conception, is that she was set apart from the very get-go, from the first moment of her existence. She was set apart. She was made pure and clean. She was spared. She didn't have to come into the world and face the inheritance of original sin that we all do. She was spared from that so that she could serve this particular and most beautiful role in God's saving plan. To be the mother of God, to give Christ his sacred and spotless humanity. She was set apart for that task from the first moment of her being. And of course, she gave, and we see this in this gospel scene that we have today, the scene of the Annunciation, she gave this response of faith to the Lord when he came to her through the angel. That is a model for all of us. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. But again, the mystery at play there, brothers and sisters, she didn't make this response just of her own accord. She made this response because the Lord, in his grace and his mercy and wisdom, had chosen her and set her apart. He enabled her in a most special way through his goodness to make this response. And so that great hymn we associate with Our Lady, if anyone ever prays the evening prayer or Vespers of the Church, we say this prayer every night, the Magnificat, as we often call it, that prayer, that hymn that Mary sings to the Lord. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, or my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. We take that to be Mary's hymn because, again, she was set apart. She was spared. She was preserved by God from that first moment of her being to give herself entirely to the Lord. I think in a key way, that's what's meant to be a real model, a real paradigm for us all about Mary's faith. That it was complete, that the offering she made of herself to God was whole and entire. She didn't reserve anything. She didn't hold anything back. She didn't try to protect any aspect or area of her life from Christ, her Son, from his saving grace. And indeed, brothers and sisters, I think that's what the Lord fundamentally asks from all of us. A whole and entire response of ourselves to him, to his love, to his saving mercy. I think in a way that's what you can see at play in the way that the church teaches us and shepherds us in various areas of our lives. You know, I was thinking, we just had an election, for instance, and one of the things the church tells us is that we can't, as it were, just cordon off the political from our faith. We can't separate that aspect of our lives out from our commitment as Christians. I don't think the church fundamentally is trying to be in the business of bullying us about politics or telling us we have to have exactly these views. But I think she is trying to tell us always that the way we think about the political cannot be excluded from the way the gospel touches our lives. The saving truth of Christ is meant to permeate every aspect of who we are and what we do. It's meant to affect our sexuality and our family life. It's meant to affect how we handle our money and our finances. It's meant to affect how we relate to the poor and to our enemies. It's meant to touch upon every area of our lives. The response we give to Christ in faith, brothers and sisters, is meant to be whole and entire. And I think in a way we see something very consoling in this about Our Lady's example. You'll notice, and I was noticing this as I was preparing for these talks recently, it's not as though, in a way, she's just completely and smoothly on board with all of this right away. The angel comes to her and he greets her in this kind of startling manner. This is an angel of God coming to her, and he says, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." And of course, the gospel writer tells us she was troubled by this. She was wondering why an angel of God would greet me in this sort of way. And then, of course, he gives her this news. You'll conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He'll be great and called the Son of the Most High. But wait a second. How is this going to happen? I haven't had relations with a man, she's thinking to herself. And then he tells her how the Holy Spirit will come upon her and be with her, how her relative Elizabeth will also conceive. And then she gives that full response of faith. But in other words, brothers and sisters, there are questions at play for her here. She's wondering how this is going to be. She's troubled by aspects of it. I was thinking, too, in conjunction with this beautiful traditional devotion we have And the church's spiritual patrimony is this devotion to the sorrows of Mary. It's a kind of spin on the rosary where you reflect specifically on the more troubling or sorrowful moments of Our Lady's life. Her flight into Egypt with Saint Joseph and the child Jesus, or when they lost the child Jesus in the temple, for instance. But again, it was time and again that she had to keep making this response of faith to the Lord, that she had to keep turning to God with trust and confidence, even while she was experiencing turmoil, even while she was experiencing fear, even while she was confused and upset at what was happening to her and her son who was being persecuted. But she kept making this response of faith. And she did it with the whole of who she was and what she had been blessed with by God. And again, brothers and sisters, I think that fundamentally is the task for all of us. And it affects different ones of us in different phases of our lives. My priestly offering of myself is, of course, different than the offering of a married person who's working in the world. The offering that one who's retired or a widow might make of him or herself looks different in other respects. But again, this calling remains for all of us. And this invitation to keep giving ourselves in faith with the help of God's grace to the Lord echoes forth for us now, just as it did for them then. And so we have before us a few more days here now. A few more days of the Advent season before we celebrate the great feast of Christmas, the feast of lights, the feast of Christ our Savior's birth. So we might, in these last few preparatory days, brothers and sisters, reflect upon and pray about how we might ourselves, where we find ourselves here now, make a more complete and whole offering of ourselves to the Lord. And we might, in a particular way, as we do this, ask Our Lady, help of Christians, to be with us, to lead us, and to guide us.